Salam. Welcome to day 2 of course 4. This is the course on Quranic mysticism. And allow me to clear your confusion right in the beginning. Yesterday you must be surprised why I sent a TED talk from a young man who himself said that if you think that this is all hippy-dippy material that I'm telling you, then, you know, maybe you didn't understand. Now, there is a very specific reason that I sent this TED talk to you. If you haven't already watched it, please watch it. And please journal the principles or the lessons that the young man is sharing from his life of exploring, from almost a decade of exploring and traveling and what he learned. Because those principles will form the basis of your coming course. Although the course is Quranic mysticism, but I could not find a better example. I could not find a better foundation to give you as introduction of the course than this TED Talk. So my humble request is to listen to the talk carefully and note down his experiences, and especially the principles, the important things that he's sharing in his slides. Now, as I told you that this is going to be a course in Quranic mysticism, so I will be teaching certain lessons in the Quran that are very pertinent to mysticism. This is the mystical reading, like we read the stories of prophets as examples of humans who are manifesting and who have manifested the divine in this world of humans. In our world, and they are well recorded in history, there are clear traditions from Torah and Bible and the Quran. And I read the stories of those mystics as they are in the Quran. And there's very little that is different in the Torah and the Bible, although I did not do a mystical reading. I did not narrate the stories as they are given in Torah and Bible. So today, beginning with the first lesson, beginning with what forms the beginning of all readings of the Quran. There are two verses from the Quran that we always say when we begin reading or reciting the Quran, or even when we sit in a class and we are listening to something that is from the Quran. These two verses are always recited. This is a tradition of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And these are two verses that are present in the Quran. And they are said, I don't know, I think millions of times in a day. Millions and billions of times in a day. Because anybody who is, has to do anything with the Quran will say these two verses. So I think it's very important that we get the meaning, the essence, and also the esoteric meaning of these verses before we even delve into what the Quran has to say to us. Now the first verse is from chapter number 16, which is the chapter of the honeybee. And this is verse 98. This is a very special place in the Quran because there is a direct order. I'm not narrating the Arabic for you. There are places in the Quran where while reading it with understanding, one realizes that this is a direct order from the divine. It says something like, whenever you do this, you must do this. So this is that type of a verse. In this verse, Allah says that whenever you read the Quran, and the word used is reading. So whenever you read the Quran, you must seek refuge. You must seek refuge with Allah from Satan, who is the cursed. That is the meaning. Arabic says, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." So the direct meaning, "A'uz," means I seek refuge. And the esoteric meaning I will discuss for you after I have done the word-to-word translation for you. So "A'uz" means I seek refuge. And "Billah" means with Allah. So I'm finding refuge, I'm seeking refuge in the divine. Minash shaitan. So shaitan is the name for Satan, we know that. So from Satan. And then it says the Satan is further specified a rajim, who is cursed. So the direct meaning of the verse is verse number 98, chapter number 16. I seek refuge with Allah, with the divine, from Satan, who is cursed. Whenever we begin, reading the Quran, whenever we begin reading a mystical message, a divine message, a message that has something from our Creator for us, there is no better way to begin that learning than this. You know, what is going into the psychological implications? I will tell you the esoteric meaning, but going into the psychological implications, you know, when you sit in a class, you're looking at a teacher, and the teacher is teaching you something. What is the first thing you need to do in order to maximize your learning? You know, they just make sure that you don't miss a single word. Is to focus on what the teacher is saying. And the way to focus is, what is the best way to focus? It's to minimize distractions. Yes? You know, we sit quietly, we sit in a certain posture, we focus our gaze, we may be doing things that help us focus. Writing down being the top of the list action that helps us focus on what we are trying to focus on. Hence my humble request for journaling all the time. That is the reason I always ask you to focus. And in order to focus, you know, the best way to do that is write down, journal whatever you are trying to focus on. So, and in order to focus, and in order to journal perfectly, and in order to minimize distractions, you know, what is the first thing we need to remove from our mind? You know, something that will connect us immediately to the teacher. And that will convince us in our minds and in our hearts that what the teacher is saying is of immense meaning and benefit to us. And that if we miss a single word, this is going to harm us. What is that one thing that we need to do? What is that one distraction that we need to remove in order to reach this state? That distraction is, and that problem is, doubt. Doubt in ourself, doubt in the ability of the teacher, doubt in what is being said, and doubt in our ability to assimilate it or to understand it. So actually, doubt forms the foundation of the continuous distractions and problems and disturbances and failure to focus and inability to understand the message being delivered. And where does doubt come from? Doubt comes from the deepest reaches of our mind. We know that. We have already studied, you know, all the three courses that we have completed so far, the divine signs that we have learned about, the focus that we applied to sunrises and divine signs and to purification and to polishing the mirror in order to receive the divine message, and the manifestation that we attempt to make in the external reality, to manifest the divine. All our attempts have brought us here today to help us recognize that self-doubt or doubt in the message or doubt in the messenger is the mother and the originator of all distraction and all failure to receive the message. And where does, you know, how does this doubt arise? What creates doubt? You know, in the deep innermost recesses of our conscious mind, we already know that there are three enemies. One is pride, which is the original sin, considering oneself superior, or considering something inferior or someone. In order to consider ourselves superior, we have to think that something is inferior, something is below us, something is below our level of understanding, something is below our level of intellect, something is less than our level of manifestation. So the first vice, you know, that gives rise to doubt in the message is pride. And the next is illusion and delusions of grandeur. You know, I am great. If you are proud, this will give rise to delusions and an illusion of being superior or great and not needing anything. And what does that lead to? A sense of entitlement. A sense of entitlement is described very beautifully in the Quran, and briefly I will tell you that a sense of entitlement is described as something that covers the heart so that the divine message and the divine light cannot reach it. It's very dangerous. This sense of entitlement then gives rise to oppression and cruelty and destruction, so to say. So all this arises, the mechanism through which this arises is satanic. Who was the original corrupter? Who was the original soul, so to say, that considered itself superior to the divine order and that considered itself superior to a divine creation? That was Adam. It was Satan. So it's only natural that the divine Creator, who has given us the Quran, has taught us that before you begin anything of worth, especially before you begin receiving a message, and especially, you know, take that to the level of a divine message, you must seek refuge with the Creator, with Allah, from Satan. Now, interestingly, Satan is Satan in English, and it is Satan in Hebrew, and it is Satan in many languages. In Arabic, the word used is shaitan, and shaitan is from the Arabic root shatana, which literally means, if you look at the dictionary, this root means something that creates distance, something that distances. So, and there can be no better description of the Satan. If you try to understand the word, you will never forget this meaning. Satan is something. Satan is an entity. Satanic whispers and satanic ideology is to create the distance, to create a separation, to create a fracture between the Creator and the creation. Just remember that. Because that is the house of all doubt. That is the basis of the, you know, that is the beginning of the fracture. And that is the beginning of our self-doubt. If I believe that my Creator is perfect, how can I think, how can I even imagine that I am imperfect? That is not possible. If the Creator is the grand planner, is the Almighty, how can I think, how can I even imagine that my life and the events that I have to face and the problems that I think are problems are somehow a divine mistake? Can the divine make a mistake? Allah never makes mistakes. And we know from our course too that the divine is perfect. Remember, this is one belief that I asked you to just believe. That the divine that we are trying to connect to is perfect. Hence, when we begin a reading of the Quran, which is the ultimate word of the divine, we say that I seek refuge with Allah from that great distancer, from that great deceiver, from that mighty breaker of trust, from that whisperer of doubt. And further, Allah tells us that if you give in to this doubt, if you listen to this Satan, if you let this Satan lead you astray, if you let these doubts confuse you, what will happen to you? The word is rajim, which is cursed. It literally means stoned to death. And stoned in contempt and hatred as a punishment. It's a very, very hard word. Very hard word. So that is the one verse that we are ordered to say. We know from prophetic traditions, and all our elders teach us this verse. And especially to Muslim children, it is taught as soon as they learn how to talk. You know, we need the refuge of the divine. We need the loving mercy of the divine. We need to be in the shadow of the divine in order for us to survive the distractions and the doubts and the evil and the fracture of trust that Satan is inviting us to. Because if we give in to those phenomena, the result is being cursed, is being homeless, is being ousted and thrown out. So that is one verse. And the next verse that we say, and that has a massive meaning, and these meanings will be repeated in subsequent lessons. So today I will give you a very brief description. The next verse that we say is Bismillah. Remember how we said A'uzu billah, I seek refuge with Allah. Now the next verse that I say is Bismillah. I begin with the name of Allah. So now that I am in the refuge of the divine, now I begin with the name of the divine. I have no doubt that this divine, that this Allah is everything. And this Allah is going to take care of everything. And this Allah is never going to let me go wrong, never going to let me go astray, never going to fuel my doubts. This Allah is perfect and He never makes mistakes. So whatever I'm doing, I'm beginning with the name of Allah. And then I say a name that is, it's interesting, you know, Allah is the personal name of the divine God who Muslims ascribe to. And it has a massive meaning that we will discuss, but Allah is the deity who is the subject of all monotheism in scriptural mysticism. And this Allah then has a perfect name for Himself. You know, in the Quran, this Allah says that I have mandated and I have obligated mercy upon Myself. So remember how we tried hard to find ourselves and what is the self that, you know, we are searching for. So the divine that we are trying to connect to, that divine has a self that He calls pure mercy. And remember, there is a very big difference between pity and mercy. Pity is a feeling that we feel for something or someone who we see as inferior. I pity something because it's dirty, because it's poor, because it's sick. You know, I pity it. but I feel mercy for something because I see it as myself. You know, that suffering, that pain sort of finds its source within me. I connect to that pain. It's the same difference that is between empathy and sympathy. You know, pity gives rise to sympathy, while mercy gives rise to empathy. So Allah has never used any words for himself that mean pity or sympathy. Allah has always used this word, Rahman, and this comes from the Arabic root Rahama. And you know, I don't know how many of you know the real meaning of Rahama. Rahama means the uterus of the mother, the womb. Now this has, I mean, if I go into the discussion of what is the mystical implication of this term, and this term giving rise to the name Rahman and Rahim both, which these two names are most frequently used in the Quran, and these are sort of the favorite personal descriptions of Allah for himself. And as I said, in the Quran he says that I have obligated mercy upon myself. I will always have mercy. So Rahman means mercy beyond measure. It's a term which, like we say, you know, good, better, best. Then in Arabic, there is a notation for the bestest. You know, like it is so best that we cannot even imagine. So Rahman, just like, remember how, you know, the name of the Quran is also the same. An denotes, when an is attached to a root, it means too much, you know, beyond imagination. So I say, you know, when I begin the Quran, I say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, I seek refuge. And then I say, Bismillah, I begin with the name of Allah, Ar-Rahman, who is merciful beyond measure, beyond imagination, whose mercy cannot even be imagined. And the root for this name will tell you why this is beyond imagination. I mean, imagine the relationship that a womb, that the uterus has to the baby inside it, the fetus inside it. You know, a few cells enter this uterus, and these cells become the ultimate parasite. These cells will scavenge blood and nutrition and water and whatnot, and grow at the expense of this uterus, will burrow into the wall of this uterus and then suck out all everything that it needs from the mother, you know, and even pee inside that uterus. The uterus will take care of all the waste that the fetus is creating. And when the fetus reaches a stage of development where it is ready to enter into a new realm, the uterus will go through life and death. It will bleed and it will contract and it will go through a pain that cannot be matched in medical measurements. The labor pains are beyond human imagination, beyond human control. And the uterus will go through this process to give birth to this baby. What does the baby give to the uterus in return? What did the baby give to the uterus? What did me or you give to the uterus of our mother? Something that housed us when we were nothing. And can we ever even imagine returning the favor that this uterus has done for us? So can you imagine a better root word for this name of Allah than Rahama? So I begin in the name of Allah who is merciful beyond imagination, and then the next name is Rahim, which means very merciful, really merciful, oft merciful. You know, it's not just one-time mercy. It's not a one-time ticket that I have with my Creator. My Creator is merciful all the time. Time and again, repeatedly, over and over and over again, oft merciful. So these are the two verses, chapter number 16, verse 98, and chapter number 27, verse 30, with which we begin the reading of the Quran every time we open the Quran. And we as Muslims are told to begin everything that we do with these two verses. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Just kill all the doubt. That's it. No distance between me and the Creator. And bismillahir rahmanir rahim. And once I am in the sanctuary, once I am in the refuge of that Creator, once I am connected to that Creator, I believe in the limitless mercy and the continuous mercy of that Creator. So today's lesson was these two terms, and I invite you to ponder the meanings yourself, because there are oceans of understanding, especially from the mystical point of view, in both these verses. All my love and dua, salam.